Show coming to you live out of Alaska. Just a little bit hoarse here this morning. I swallowed some pills and I got one going the wrong direction. Not sure what causes that. I have a once in a great while when I swallow pills, I'll get one that I can have to cough back up, but this one got stuck and it's about 3 hours later. Anyways, I want to make a few comments and then we're going to get into an overview, which I did with Joyce Riley, but even in more detail, and it's even going to get more detailed. That people need to be able to understand how our republic got taken away from us with our consent, unknowingly and unwittingly. And it all gets down to that citizen of the United States. It seems so unbelievable, but that's the root of the problem. But I want to make a few comments here that Veritas has come out. That's just amazing stuff on the corruption of the buying the votes and stuff on the Democratic Party. And yet nobody wants to touch it. Where's the Department of Justice? You can't make this stuff up. I don't know how Veritas got admissions. And then there's one coming out Monday about the head of the Democratic Party, the DNC, and Hillary Clinton. But I am telling you, that woman is either possessed or she's Lucifer's avatar. I don't know. It's just that woman is pure evil. Her and Bill Clinton and Obama and Michael or Michelle, whatever she is. And Loretta Lynch, Department of Justice, FBI, Comey. These people are corrupt. I highly recommend watching, first of all, the Ohio speech that Trump gave. Talks about the Constitutional Republic. Mr. Levin, hey, what's your problem now? He will, as far as I know, he still has not endorsed Trump. He was stuck on Cruz. And he knew that Cruz didn't have the requirements to be president of the United States. I mean, you'd get a three-year-old if you, or a third grader if you explained it to him, could figure that out. I don't know how these people, they're false. This, he's a false Jew, unfortunately. You look at these people, and it's really, they're just coming out of the woodwork ad nauseum. Because Trump is going up, like he talked about in the other, had that Gettysburg speech he gave in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. It was absolutely amazing, lining out the things he's going to do. Who is against, who could be against what's, give me some facts. Why are you against these things? Not only that, is giving term limits on these senators. They're supposed to be citizen senators or citizen representatives and go back home. They're not supposed to make a career out of being up there, corruption and this crony capitalism and all the, this lobbyists and all this stuff. I mean, it's just, he said he's going to drain the swamp or something to that effect. The thing that Trump has done is he has fleshed out the crux. They're coming out of the woodwork, not the least of which is Rat Riot, the head of the Speaker of the House, and Connolly, or Connell, whatever his name is down near the Senate. McAlpine. No, not McAlpine, McCain, out of Arizona. Of course, we knew he was a crook anyway. These people are, and our Senator Murkowski, these people will not endorse Trump. Why? Because they're corrupt. They do not want this to change. They don't want a republic. They don't want somebody up there that can't be bought and sold. Because guess what? A lot of them, first of all, their money train's going to be going. The love of money is the root of all evil. And greed. And power. And they won't be there no more. I cannot wait. Say a prayer every day. Come on, Hillary. Where's the handcuffs and the orange suit? Ain't that going to be a hoot? Because she thinks she is untouchable, her and Bill. Trump gets in, which I think he will. It's going to be a landslide, even with all the corrupt politics and the corrupt voting and all that. And then they get around and they criticize Trump because he won't say, I'll take the election results as it is, when, of course, we know Al Gore didn't. But, of course, see, they have two standards. And people, they can't think beyond their, it's like we got a bunch of, I don't know, I really can't put a finger on a lot of the, I talk to these people over some of these at the rec center where I go. There's nobody home upstairs. There's no critical thinking. And you can't confuse them with facts. Talk to one guy, what is it about Trump? Why aren't he, oh, because he doesn't like unions. That's it? So you're going to vote for Hillary because Trump doesn't like unions. Well, I was in three unions and I got screwed by every damn one of them. IBEW, the Teamsters and Utility Workers of America. Every one of them screwed me. And the unions, the IBEW, you're going to put in money, donate for the Democrats. And I said, like HELL, I will. Well, that's not the way to get along around here if you want to get it. I said, take it and put it where the sun don't shine. I will not give one penny of my money where I don't want to put it. Needless to say, me and the unions did not get along well. So, anyway, that Gettysburg address is an amazing speech, and the one he gave right after the thing in Ohio was an amazing speech. Constitution of Republic, Constitution of the United States. So what is it, Mr. Levin, that you don't like about him now? He's not a conservative because he talks about a constitutional republic. It's amazing, these talk show hosts that are out there that are just, they absolutely cannot support Trump. And anybody that would support Hillary, I am sorry, I don't want anything to do with you. Because you're mentally defective. Or you're corrupt. Or something. There's something really rotten wrong. Because there's nobody can support Hillary. If you have an IQ on the plus side of about 80 or 90, whatever it is, to get up to do some critical thinking, there's no way anybody could support Hillary. My golly gee whiz, how corrupt does it have to be? This is like a primer to hell, or a little more. There's no truth anywhere, and it's everything is rigged. It's all about money. It's all about greed. Like I say, you just can't make this stuff up. I don't know what to say. Anyways, enough on that. I want to go over. I went to Joyce Riley's show this week. Joyce and I know Joyce quite well. And she's the one that did the Gulf War Syndrome, and I brought them up here and paid for the video and all that, and that's what was the demise of my country, and they deported the guy that did the video, and they went after me in 3 years. They got me, and that's fine. I have no regrets. No regrets at all. I'd do it all again. Of course, if I knew what was going on, I would have try to stop some of the stuff, but you learn as you go. I'm going to give a brief overview, and I've got more additional information. We're going to have, I got additional information coming in that I haven't gotten to yet, but I'm going to go over a little bit of it today around 1933 because it's absolutely astounding, and we got conclusive evidence. I'm getting this stuff, some of it is coming out of Westlaw, out of the GAO. I didn't realize we had access in Westlaw to the GAO, the Government Administrative Office. But But if you're going to overthrow a republic, people need to be able to articulate this. And then I've got the stuff to prove it. If you were going to overthrow a republic, what would you do? How would you go about doing it? Well, first of all, you have to identify what is the republic. It's the Constitution, it's the Declaration of Independence, inalienable rights under our Creator. Of course, it's the Articles of Confederation. It's the Constitution of the several states, and it's the Constitution of the United States. So somehow, we'll have to get we, the people, by some con job, and the several states. Those are the two parties under the Constitution of the United States. There's we, the people, which are the citizens of the several states. They're all these states are all foreign to each other. They're just like little countries. They all got their own laws. They all are supposed to have their own constitutions. And they have their own citizens. Citizens of Texas, citizen of New Jersey, citizen of North Carolina, citizen of Minnesota, citizen of North Dakota. They're all different. And they're united by and under the Constitution of the United States through the Privileges and Immunities Act, and of course the 10th Amendment, 8th, and especially the 10th. Well, you know, what isn't there is reserved to the states and to the people. So we have the documents. We have to modify the documents somehow. The Constitution of the United States, because that's the big boy. And we have to eliminate the standing of the citizens of the several states, and we have to eliminate the standing of the several states for the Senate, because the citizens of the several states is what elects the House of Representatives. The several states, the legislatures, are the entities that elect the senators of the United States, not United States senators, senators of the United States. English is quite important. United States Senator is called a compounding of nouns. The first nouns are used as an adjective describing a senator, not the senator. It's like United States Constitution is not the same as the Constitution of the United States. Of is a preposition, so on source, origin, a relationship. A is an article. The is an article. The, a particular, identified one, Constitution of the United States. And you see these people, supposedly these smart talk show hosts, like Mark Levin. And he doesn't even know proper English, and he's studied the stuff. So he has no excuse unless he's intentionally doing it. So how do we get rid of this? So number one, if we were going to overthrow a republic, we have to get rid of the citizens of the several states. We got to modify the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the several states. We have to overthrow representation of the several states gone. We have to change the court system. And we have to get the statutes to where the statutes no longer have application of the United States. And then that, of course, will put the several states into the other states, which is what Alaska came in. We'll do that. So how do we go about doing all that? Well, first of all, we start with we the people. 14 Stat 27, which people have listened to the show have heard me talk about this before. Citizen of the United States. To have the same rights as white citizens. That's codified today in 42 United States Code, 1981 and 1982. That's 42 United States Code, 1981, 1982. So they created a fictitious, a statutory citizen of the United States. Not one that has law of the land, the citizens of the several states. That's under the inalienable rights under the Declaration of Independence from the Creator. So we created a fictitious statutory. Anytime the legislature or Congress creates a statutory entity, they then can control what that entity can do and what it cannot do, whether it has a remedy or not in the Constitution. Everything is under its control. They create corporations same way. It's a fiction. Anybody that's ever had a corporation, they create fictions. And then your type of corporation you have is under what Congress or the legislature, wherever you're creating this fiction, can and cannot do. And it has a constitution. But its constitution does not have external amendments. They're internal on fictions. Organic constitutions, they're external. So we got the first step. We created the fiction. 1866. They memorialized it in 1868 in the 14th Amendment. Subject to the jurisdiction thereof. See, they couldn't say everybody born or naturalized. That's the constitutional side of the 14th. Born as an American citizen or a citizen of one of their several states, or naturalized, that is a citizen of the United States of America, and it's in all kinds of code. People never see these documents because it's technically illegal to copy them or to do anything with them when they give you a naturalization document. Subject to the jurisdiction thereof. There's all kinds of things. Liable for all kinds of different definitions for subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Is then, therefore, a citizen of the United States and a resident of a state. A resident of a state. Okay, the citizen of the United States is a fiction, and a resident is somebody that they don't say domicile, or they can't say domicile. A resident. You're just passing, you're in the fictional world in a state, and that state is not one of the several states. So now we've got the, and then in 1870, Congress had an epiphany, and they said, oh, you know, all you black folk, we could have got around and we could have just naturalized you. We have that power. And then you would have been equal in all respects, not having the same rights as white citizens. There would have been no difference. But we couldn't figure that out until 2 years later after we got the fiction. Okay, so now we have the citizens of the several states, and we'll eventually get that into all the voting stuff. But it'll take a while. But first of all, we have to create the fiction. Then in the about 1880s, they started off with the Interstate Commerce Commission, external establishments. They had to start creating agencies, but sit outside the government. And this is in a report of 1937, by the way, too. They had a great problem because they couldn't figure out, are these people in the government under the benefits and stuff, or are they out? They had a heck of a time trying to mealy-mouth that one around. And I really don't remember how it came out because it was just all over the place. It's just, well, I don't know. So then we move forward. We're going to start working on the courts. So in the 1890s, they created the Court of Appeals, a jurisdiction, a geographical jurisdiction for fictions, not based on subject matter, which has national. When a national is, there were two courts, the court, the District Court of the United States, created in the Judiciary Act of 1789, and there was the Circuit Court of the United States and the Supreme Court of the United States under the Constitution. Those are all subject matter jurisdictions. When they used to rule on a Circuit Court of the United States, any decision there was good all across the several states. So they created the Court of Appeals in 1890. So now we come up to 1911. So now we take the Circuit Court of the United States, and it actually says so in the code, that they're going to take the judicial power of the Circuit Court of the United States, that's the appellate court, and put it in the District Court of the United States. Back in a minute.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Okay, we're back. So this is in the section actually 289 of the Judicial Code. Circuit courts abolished and transferred to the district courts. So now we've got rid of the circuit courts of the United States. So we have one constitutional court down. We have the district court of the United States left. We put in its place the Circuit Court of Appeals. So there's the geographical, there's the court for the fictions. We're getting set up to do that. That was 1911. So 1913, they passed the 17th Amendment, and they somehow talked the people into the several states, no longer the legislatures, no longer elected senators of the United States. So it went to the people, back to the fictions, citizens of the United States, electing United States senators. Okay. So now we have a constitution in the several states. We have the Constitution of the United States, and there's nobody has any standing in either one of those. And the people voted away. Of course, they didn't understand what they were doing, obviously. They wouldn't have done it, I would presume. So this happened in 1913. Of course, they did the Federal Reserve Act, because then we got to have fictitious money for the fictions. So we got that in. And, of course, from 1913 to 1917, now that there is nobody that has standing in either the constitutions of the several states or that has standing in the Constitution of the United States, they changed the real party of interest in the courts. Up until, and you can check this at the law library if you don't have access, most people probably don't have access to Westlaw or Lexis, but from up to 1913, the real party of interest was strictly United States or the United States. There's only two courts today that still have that. That's the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals and the Federal Circuit Court of Claims. So anyway, back to that. So it was United States in 1913. From 1913 to 1916, took them about 3 years. And all of a sudden, it's United States of America is the real party of interest. So what would change? Who? How can we have in the courts the real party of interest change? Well, I've got two cases in the IRS and United States District Court where it says United States of America is a sovereign body politic. It's Congress. Because we, the people, back then, granted to Congress to be, quote, 14th Amendment citizens, which really means fictions in law. Totally under the power of Congress, plenary power of Congress. We are no longer have law of the land in the several states. We no longer have law of the land and the land ceded to the United States. We're a fiction in law, controlled exclusively by Congress. So then to reinforce this, we go in the 1920s, they changed the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. That flag technically is a flag you're supporting, or we're supporting, is to Congress. Well, I'm not ever going to dishonor the flag, obviously, but the 1818 Act of Congress says the flag of the United States in plain English. It's now the flag of the United States of America. That's the flag of Congress as having plenary power. So now then, we've got rid of one court. We no longer have senators of the United States, or we no longer have representatives of the United States. So the people and the people, the citizens of the several states, and the several states no longer have representation in Congress. So now what do we do? Well, we got some other things to get rid of. One is the statutes of the United States. We're going to have to get rid of those because we can't have statutes of the United States because that is sitting in the law. So how do we do that? Well, that's quite simple. See, they get Congress in this stuff. I'm going to jump ahead and I'm going to go back here to 1933, but we go up to 1934. And we take the civil side first, and they pass an act. And they say, guess what? We're going to have rules promulgated for the courts. And after 6 months, it says, these rules shall take effect 6 months after the promulgation, and therefore all laws in conflict therewith shall be of no further force and effect. Or we're going to keep the right of a trial by jury. It's going to be inviolate. This is 48 Stats 1064. It was done June 19th, 1934. Okay, so now we got rid of the civil rules. Okay, so we're getting set up here. So the statutes, civil statutes, are no longer there. That's actually in the Constitution of the State of Alaska. You can believe that. It's in the rules. They actually do it in plain English, too. Okay, so we got rid of the civil. We still have the criminal rules. Criminal, the statutes that have to do with criminal. So we come along, and that was done in 1940. And let me pull it up here. In 1940, that was 54 Stat 688. And that was done on June 29th, 1940. And it says the same thing. Thereafter, all laws in conflict therewith shall be of no further force and effect. They're talking about the rules. So now we have rules of court. This is why rules of court are really important. Back in a minute.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
so, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
If your home has hard water, then it's likely that LimeScale is clogging your pipes, damaging your appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars each year. You can eliminate LimeScale in the entire house with HydroCare products available at Wave Home Solutions. Easy and efficient with no maintenance, no salts, no chemicals, and no coils. And you can buy with confidence from Wave Home Solutions. Performance guaranteed. Just go to bestwater411.com. That's bestwater411.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite.
Okay, we're back here. So now we have the Second Quarter of the United States is gone. The citizens of the several states are no longer a party to the Constitution of the several states or the Constitution of the United States. And the several states in 1913, 17th Amendment, they no longer have standing to elect senators of the United States. So we now have Congress under the plenary power. Everything is done by citizens of the United States. Now, just before we went to this, the 1934, the civil side rules, civil rules of court, make all statutes null and void. Isn't that amazing? Just by a rule of court. Now we're ruled by rules of court civilly. And in 1940, they did the same thing with the criminal. So now we have the statutes are eliminated. So what else do we do? Well, I was researching the 1935 Federal Register Act. Because, see, this is the game that's going on today that Obama's figured out and Congress is aware of. Why does nobody take on Obama's executive orders? Other than Texas did it down there. Why? Because the con would be out of the bag. So what's the con? Well, I went into the 1935 Federal Register Act and under the GAO. I'm reading this. I cannot believe it. Well, first of all, what is in the Federal Register Act? This is where the President of the United States puts executive orders into the Federal Register and the agencies put their rules and regulations into the Federal Register. So why would that have any effect? Well, it says here in the Federal Register Act, Section 4, as used in this act, unless the conduct otherwise requires, the term document means any presidential proclamation or executive order and any order, regulation, rule, certificate, code of fair competition, license, notice, or similar instrument issued, prescribed, or promulgated by a federal agency. The terms, here's the killer, federal agency or agency means the President of the United States. The federal agency or agency means the President of the United States. How the hell is he equal to the IRS? EPA. This is for ruling over the citizens of the United States. And it also goes on, any executive department, independent board, this is something sitting outside the Constitution, establishment, that's all these, including the tax court is an independent establishment, all these things that govern the FEC or all its FAA, all the stuff sits outside. Bureau, agency, institution, commission, or separate office of the administrative branch of the government of the United States, but not the legislative or judicial branches. Isn't that just special? And the person means any individual, partnership, association, and by the way, individual means citizen of the United States. That's 5 United States Code, 552A, in parenthesis, A2. Okay, that's 5 United States Code, 552A, in parenthesis, A2. So, it's for citizens of the United States. But imagine, the President of the United States is an agency. Why is that important? Well, we have to go back now because I was looking in the GAO and I could not believe this. It was shocking. The first 15 months after March 4th, 1933, what happened March 4th? March 4th, 1933, Franklin Delano Roosevelt was sworn in as the President of the United States. He's the first president that didn't do the actual oath. He inserted the name in quotation marks, so nobody's done it right since. Issued 674 executive orders, aggregating approximately 1,400 pages. Where am I getting this? This is a House of Representatives report number 280. 280, March 4th, 1935. But this is in the Federal Register Act. This is what they're justifying to do the Federal Register. So in the first 15 months, March 4th, 1933, the President alone issued 674 executive orders, aggregating approximately 1,400 pages. This was a greater volume than that of the preceding 4 years, nearly six times as great as that for the 39 years from 1862 through 1900. Moreover, in the first year of the National Recovery Administration, 2,998 administrative orders were issued. So we got 2,998 administrative orders, 674 executive orders. Now, they're talking about in a two-month window or two-year window up to 1935. This was March 4th, 1935 that this committee, and they're looking back, talking about March 4th, 1933. Continuing, in addition to these, the National Recovery Act, our administration has adopted numerous regulations and sets of regulations which can only be found after a search of some 5,091 press releases issued during the period. It is estimated that the National Recovery Administration alone issued some 10,000 pages of law. It's in quotation marks. A greater volume than the total amount of statutory law contained in the United States Code. And they're talking about farther down the custom regulations, the internal revenue regulations, the immigration regulations, the postal rules and regulations. And they just go on and on. And they talk about the enactments of Congress are easily available, but often the regulation issued under them are more important than the basic acts. Oh, isn't that just special? It's starting to get a little scary here. Officials in the departments issuing their frequently do not know their own regulations. That's the IRS today. They have no clue because they're not taught. Why is this important? So I said, well, wait a minute here. How in the holy heck did they authorize March 4th, 1933? Franklin Delano Roosevelt is off with the National Recovery Administration issuing the executive orders that are law. And the administrative agencies are issuing law. Well, guess what Mr. Herbert Hoover did? His last day in public office was March 3rd, 1933. Would you like to guess what he signed into law, which was already set up? 1,006 revised statutes of 1878 were repealed. And I have them all. And if there's a thing, I was going to send those out a week ago or 2 weeks. I've got to send them out. 1,006 statutes were repealed. Now, they just did the 1926 code. And anytime they do a code, they do repealers. They update everything and they repeal all the obsolete stuff, supposedly. That's the purpose of the codifying it. One of the reasons. So in 1926, they supposedly had everything caught up. Now we come along from 7 years later, and we repeal 1,006 statutes out of the revised statutes of 1878. Do you smell a rat? One day later, Franklin Delano Roosevelt is off issuing executive orders. The administrative agencies are issuing their nonsense orders, and they're called law. I couldn't make this stuff up. March 4th, 1933 was the first day of the New Deal, where executive orders, we put a president in charge of a dictatorship in reality, along with agencies. They passed the National Recovery Act. Let me put that up here. They passed the National Recovery Act. They didn't get to that till let's see here, what's the date on this thing? June 16th, 1933. And it says here, the administrative agency, the effective policy of this title, the president is hereby authorized to establish such agency and to accept and utilize such voluntary uncompensated services to appoint without regard to the provision of the civil laws, yada, yada, yada. They gave to the president of the United States, go out there and do what you got to do, FDR. That, by the way, was parts of that was codified. I have the 1935 code, and part of that was the Supreme Court in 1935 said you can't do that. They just took away part of it, but they left the rest of it all sitting there today. We're still doing it. The New Deal. I'm looking at some of the congressional records. I'm getting my hands on some of those, and I haven't had to get, I'm getting up to the March 9th, the banking holiday. But I want to see what these guys talk about, because these congressional records are killers. We don't have access to them except in the public law libraries, unless you go pay a service to get access to them. The March 9th Banking Act says we got to do something, and I haven't researched it out, but it goes right back and goes into the Trading with the Enemies Act. That's why we have to take the gold away from the people. It's in the congressional record. Now, I haven't got that far, but the question just comes begging, why would we have to take the gold away from the people under the Trading with the Enemies Act? I will be getting to that shortly down the road here, but I've got a bunch of obligations of things to need to be done before that. But so now we can prove March 3rd, 1933, 1,006 statutes out of 1878 went away. All over the place, all the way through the whole thing. The 1878 revised statutes are on the internet. Beecraft got them from Jim down in Florida, I think. He's the man that gave them to Dave, Dan Metter. And he got a copy, and I think he gave them to them, and they put them on the internet. They're pretty complete. If you can't find it, why send me an email at ralph@alaskaminuteman.com. And it's ralph@alaskaminuteman.com, and I'll send you the link. I've downloaded all the statutes. I have a copy of them all on my computer, so I can easily find this stuff. I highly recommend you get them all on your own computer if you really want to be serious about this stuff. Anyways, March 3rd, 1933 was the last day, technically, of the Republic. They just gave it away. What the hell? hell was wrong with these people in Congress? Greed? Power? I'm working up to see if there's what happened on the bankruptcy stuff. Because we really screwed over the German people. This was under McFadden in the Congressional Record. We withheld food from Germany to get them to give us all their gold, all their bonds, and then we still withheld food from Germany. We starved them out. Not to mention what we did in World War II under Eisenhower and put over 1 million Germans in open camps and starved them to death and wouldn't give them food. That was Mr. Eisenhower. Yeah, the great Mr. Eisenhower. He's a great, the terrible Jew. That's a fact. Over, you could find that on the internet and you could validate it quite easily. Over 1 million people were put in and starved, German people. They really had a hatred for the German people. So we go now, and that was probably, that was one of the problems of McFadden, because he was out of a representative, which I'm going to get all the stuff eventually for, until they killed him. He was really a thorn in their side back in the 1932-33 area, because he was trying to get Herbert Hoover impeached because he was in bed with the international bankers. And they were protecting the international bankers and putting it on the taxpayers. Does that sound familiar? Like we did with the bailout of we did here recently, a couple of years ago. So anyway, moving forward. So we put the president in charge. He's now a dictator. All he's doing, he puts it in the Federal Register. And then Congress can up and down it. Okay, so now we got the President of the United States is technically legally doing this. And I'm going to get to why it's legal. Because we give our consent, but how they get around, how they do it. So this is why, of course, nobody wants to take on Obama. Because is anybody going to expose this fraud? Of course not. It's called the headless fourth branch of government. So now we got rid of the statutes. We got rid of the Circuit Court of the United States. We got the president now doing the executive orders legally in 1935. We got the agencies doing it legally in 1935. But the problem is, we still have a problem. Congress can't legislate yet legally. And the agencies are taking away, they're competing with Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And he did a research, which I have, it's 1937. Called a headless fourth branch of government, and that's why these people do not understand what they're fighting against. They think they're going to court and they're going to hold the IRS accountable. They don't exist in reality. There's no public office. There's no accountability. You have to understand the game. And it's not what you think. It's not what I've thought. It's taken me a long time to get to the truth of this. And we've got to the truth of the IRS last year and of the Alaska court system and the courts last year. Been doing this for 15 years, wading through the nonsense. So now we do, FDR does his little thing and says we have a headless fourth branch of government and we need subsidy regulations to rule over the citizens of the United States. That have the force and effect of law. They aren't law, they just have the force and effect of law. They're under color of law. That's why you do a 42 United States Code 1983. That's a 1983 under Title 42. Color of law. It looks like, but it's not. Why is that? Why would you have color of law? Don't these people know how to enact law? Of course they do. So now, after that report came out, they came up with the Administrative Procedures Act. They came up with the Walter Logan in 1940, and they didn't define subsidy regulations because FDR and Congress wanted a way. FDR's intention was he didn't want competition from the agencies, and Congress wanted a way to do the con. They wanted to have to be able to legislate over citizens of the United States, which they couldn't do out in the open because they would be giving away their legislative power. They don't have it. So they figured out a way through the Federal Register Act, which we just talked about. So how did they pull that off? Actually, pretty simple. I mean, this is, you got to give credit where credit is due. This is an amazing, got to be under the principalities of evil to do this type of stuff. I mean, there's just no way that the average man or woman, or because this is done over quite a period of time, that they pulled this nonsense off. So what did they do? everything starts from agencies, which is what Texas did at 25 states. They had the cojones to get in there and take on Obama and the Administrative Procedures Act stuff. Everything they do, we'll be back in just a minute.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Okay, we're back here. Randy in Minnesota, you got a question or a comment on our subject today?
Yeah, Rev. I want to know if you do me one simple little favor. Let me act like I'm the ignorant American who just came across your broadcast, and I want to ask you a bunch of dumb questions. Not a bunch, but you know what I mean, right?
Okay, go ahead.
Come on, Ralph, work with me on this. It'll make a great show, I promise you.
Okay, so what's your question, I guess? I'm not following here yet.
Let me ask you this, sir. You don't pay the income tax, how are we supposed to get our roads fixed?
Okay, that's off. That's way off point to get to there, to get your roads fixed.
Ralph, understand. But I guarantee you came across those same kind of stupid questions that I've had to come across.
Okay, I got all kinds of those questions. I'm giving an overview of the whole thing, and if I take time to try to go into what you're talking about, we're not going to get finished with the complete overview, which is what the show about. So if you've got something on the main overview of what we're talking about, or if you can, you're welcome to call me after the show if you want.
Okay, Ralph. Okay. Let me ask you this. What makes you liable to pay the income tax?
I'm sorry, what?
What makes you liable to pay the income tax? What makes you liable?
Being a citizen of the United States. That's the answer right there.
No, that's wrong. Social Security number, that's what makes you liable to pay the income tax, and I can prove it. I had a job at a Steak and Shake, and I got the job with no Social Security number. On my paycheck stub, this is what it said. Social Security number has in all nines. For federal and state income tax, it said zero tax block.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to disagree with you. I have so much evidence on what we're talking about, and we're doing it. So I appreciate your evidence. If you want to send it to me after the show, that's fine. Ralph at Alaska, Minuteman.com. Because I have what you're saying is not true, okay? Okay, I guess he's gone. We're back on the air here with the... back where I was going. By the way, a little simple instance of something happened is not evidence. I've got all kinds of cases where I had misdemeanors dropped. Proof of what? They just didn't want to tangle with me. They didn't want some of this out. That doesn't mean that what I was doing is the real killer. So we have to have evidence. It's there. We just have to have access to it and learn how to read. So how did Congress get the power to legislate? They put in the Administrative Procedures Act of 1946. And here it is. Every agency starts here. Every agency, including the Presidente. But he does his through executive orders published in the Federal Register. The agencies, Congress, couldn't legislate directly over the citizens of the United States. There's no power. They got to make it legal. See, everything they're doing is legal. It's unlawful, it's unconstitutional, because they've overthrown our republic, because it's against the law to be deceptive. They're not fulfilling their oath of office or what they're supposed to be doing, but it's technically legal. Rulemaking. This is 5 U.S.C. 551 number 4. This is what Texas used and 25 states against Obama. Rulemaking. Rule means the whole or any part of any agency statement. That's a statement. Okay, I make a statement. I said, well, I don't know, I'm the president of the United States. That's a statement. Okay. Of general or particular applicability and future effect designed to, and here's the killer, implement, comma, interpret, comma, or prescribe law or policy, blah, blah, blah. So what happened there? Congress gave agencies all three traditional branches of government in the Administrative Procedures Act for citizens of the United States, not for citizens of the several states. Well, we'll get to it right after we come back from break. Listen, ain't stick what they did.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.